This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everyone. It really is a pleasure to be here. I mean, as the Minister and Simon said, Apprenticeship Week is a very busy week. And I was really impressed that the Minister should refer us to our history. And he talked about, you know, the legislation which has just gone through the House, the bill which has become an act, he referred to. He also referred to the Statute of Artificers. He said it better than I said it. But what he didn't do was tell you what that actually meant. And I think sometimes when you talk about apprenticeships, we ought to acknowledge our history. And what that meant was that if you were an apprentice, you actually lived with the master. So this is a whole new meaning to employment. You lived with the master. And lots of people who were in trouble and wayward kids of those times would be press-ganged into becoming an apprentice. So there's plenty of opportunities for the government, if we are having problems with unemployment, to press-gang young people to go and live with their masters. But it just shows you how we've moved on in, that's 500 years ago, almost. But it's still the same importance that an apprentice is employed and there's a relationship with their master, their employer. As the chairman remarked at the beginning, I look after something called the Apprenticeship Ambassadors Network, which was launched in April 2006 and was really the creation of the then Chancellor of the Exchequer, Gordon Brown, who I think Kevin made the point earlier, his commitment to apprenticeships is outstanding. I mean, it really is. The political commitment has been extraordinary. And he's got this group now which is helping to spread the message, and I suppose it's what I'm doing now this morning, to try and get more employers involved in apprenticeships and to, if you like, get over the business benefits of why apprenticeships work. There are some of the logos of our main players, and you can see there's some really big names there. The Tesco, British Gas, BT, Kessler's International, the real leaders of British industry are in there. I did that for George. And I mean, that's a lot of words, I'm very busy, but basically what we do is to look at the priority sectors and some of those which Simon referred to in his new industry, new jobs, is Nineage, which he talked about. We spend a lot of time responding to government about changes they want to make, loads of case materials, working with Simon. We work very closely with Simon Waugh and his team in the NAS. And we're trying more and more to promote apprenticeships in a sense which covers diversity. And I got down there, you can see gender, ethnicity and disability. We want apprenticeships to be open and attractive to all people. And we have award ceremonies and things like that. I really will go quick now because a lot of it's been done by Simon and the Minister, but, you know, things really are good, and they're the 240,000, we call it 239,900, the highest recorded, which Simon referred to. There's the popular frameworks in 08, 09, pretty predictable, I guess, if you were to ask, but there's some of the really popular ones at the top, and the completion rates, and Simon talked about the 70% completion for apprenticeships. And way back when we were just a task force as employers and we were talking to government and making comments, we said that apprenticeships weren't really real until they reached 75%. We thought that was the sort of figure. If someone starts a course, three quarters at least should finish it. And we're getting very close now. There's been real good improvement there from, you know, way back in 31% up to 70.9%. The challenges which we see as employers is increasing employer engagement, and often, and I don't know, I haven't studied the list of attendees today, how many of you are actually employers, but often I feel as though I'm speaking to the converted, and we've somehow got to get the message outside of this room, the passion that you've heard from Simon and the Minister and others as to why apprenticeships are important and good for business. Increasing completion rates is one that we've consistently argued about, and I've mentioned it now, and as I say, 75% is what we would like to see. Leach aspirations, which came out of Sandy Leach's review, have now been translated by the government to one in five young people leaving and entering into an apprenticeship after their schooling. The entitlement has been talked about. The one in five, I think, has to be seen now in terms of the 50% of young people into higher education has now been altered to 75%, including advanced apprenticeships. So the whole drive now is to get the vocational route alongside the higher education route. And in that discussion during the question-answer session, Chairman, I mean, the important thing that we have to do and move hard on, and we've been arguing for this, is to make sure that each apprenticeship framework has UCAS points and that it can then be recognised by universities. And that is the route. I think it's the Institute of Work-Based Learning that asked that question. There really has to be a very clear route in which people can move through into higher education if that's what they want to do. The new diplomas have been hardly mentioned today. A major change in the education system, part of the 14 to 19 review, and I will touch on it later, but there has to be some sort of relationship for those young people who opt to go down the new diploma route as opposed to the conventional GCSE and A-level route, and equality and diversity I've mentioned already. Just to look at what happens, I haven't got the figures, I'm sorry, for Pakistan, but just to look at what happens in some of the other countries in the world, the ratio of employed population to apprentices, you can see that other companies, and Germany is well known for its dual system of investing a lot in apprenticeships, look at those countries who are way ahead of us in terms of the proportion of their population who are in apprenticeships compared to the UK. We've commissioned some research, and it will be published fairly soon, about what's happening in some other countries. I mean, some countries, I mean, Sweden is very fashionable at the moment. There's lots of shadow ministers going out to Sweden and looking at how the Swedish education system works. They don't have apprenticeships, but they do have technical colleges, which I think is something that the opposition party are putting forward as a way of which people would go into a technical college or into an academic route. They would split it more directly. Now, the point which Simon was talking about and which we have real evidence on is the benefits which an employer gets. And let's say it up front. You will never sell apprenticeships to employers unless you talk about the business benefits. All the altruism in the world, I'm afraid, will not work. You have to link that strongly. And I think Simon had his... I've forgotten how it was now, social and economic. It's down that social side that you will have great difficulty, I think, in convincing employers, unless you have cleared the economic benefits of apprenticeships to employers. And we get people like Terry Leahy from Tesco to go and talk to groups of retailers, and he doesn't say to them, this is good for CSR and makes us feel better. He says, you know, every little helps. The company, no one from Tesco here is about that, wasn't there? And to denigrate them. But he says, you know, it helps the company. There's a real business benefit. That's why we do it. And I think they've got 5,000 apprentices now. And if you're a retailer sat there listening to him, well, you're bound to think, I would say, if it works for Tesco, there's a good chance it might work for me. So it's that business argument which we have been pushing. And I've put some of the items down there, some list of things where there is evidence that you improve staff recruitment, staff are more motivated to come through an apprenticeship, you reduce skills shortage, all pretty predictable things which we could have guessed if I'd have asked you to guess what the benefits are, but they're there. Reducing turnover, an apprentice is more likely to stay with you than someone who wasn't an apprentice. There is real evidence to show this. And I think it helps companies if they see that their company is investing in apprenticeships. It makes the rest of the workforce feel more, not comfortable, but the company is moving forward and is committing itself by investing in apprenticeships. New ideas come into the business, and then there's a bit of CSR. It does enhance the reputation. Now, the study we did, it's referenced at the bottom of the slide there, the net benefit to employer investment in apprenticeship training. It's a snappy title, Warwick Institute for Employment Research, and that's what Simon was talking about. We commissioned this work from Warwick. I haven't got copies of it here. It's quite a large tome. But if you go onto that website at the bottom there, you can find a route to it. It's too big to put on our website, so it's not there. But if you let us know that you want a copy, you can get a copy. Now, that makes it sound a bit formidable when I say it's too big. Actually, the summary bit is very readable. And it's I'll go through some of the more in detail in a second for you. It's actually a very reassuring to read it, and it is terribly powerful. Simon uses the detail of it a lot when he goes out speaking, and so do I, because employers really are switched on by it because they can see some of the benefits. It shows that the cost of training, and this was his lines, he had different lines for different sectors, are recouped very quickly when people complete their apprenticeship. And then some of these points I've just made, people stay with the company longer, they become enmeshed in the ethos of the company, and they are a tremendous source of future managers and leaders of those company. And I think on that, on our network now, and I showed you the logos of the companies, they're represented mainly by their chief executives or someone pretty close to it. I think we've got five former apprentices who are actually now captains of industry and leading those companies. It was based on case studies in seven sectors. There's a bit of technical stuff about net present value and how much it costs to invest in the apprenticeship and what money you're getting back, and I won't go through all that technical stuff for you. It was independent. It was given, and I think George was at the meeting when they brought their first draft to us, it was given a very good going over by our people, trying to just test it and make sure that this was right. And it was based on a number, small number of observations in each sector, but the cases are not atypical of employers in their respective sectors. So we picked some really good examples of how it worked. And here are the sectors which we used: engineering, construction, hospitality, retail, social care, IT, and business admin. We have no reason to believe that in any other sector you would have similar sorts of benefits. I think we've reached the point that it's not worth doing anymore, because it's just replicating a clear message that an investment in apprenticeship will lead to a payback. And the investment, the cost which is taken into the calculation, is the cost of training, of supervision, all the things which, some of those hidden costs are in there. And here's the payback times. Now, some of the more expensive ones, like engineering and construction, inevitably and understandably take a little longer to pay back, but it's there. But some of the others, it's quite short periods in which there's a payback. I was surprised that the minister never mentioned the new diplomas, and I don't know how many of you in this room are aware of this fundamental, I would say, the biggest change in the education system since the introduction of comprehensive education, and it's part of the government's 14 to 19 reforms that young people will now have a choice of the route they take at school. They can go down this conventional route, which is GCSEs, A-levels, and possibly into higher education, or they can do the young apprenticeships, which we heard mentioned earlier, or the conventional apprenticeships that we're now talking, and into employment. So the sort of academic, vocational routes which we talk about. And I don't want to use the phrase parity of esteem, but I guess for decades we have said this right-hand route is good, and isn't that wonderful? This is just for other kids, other people's children, not ours. We're on this one. There is now a real alternative. It is rolling out slowly, and the numbers are small, and we can pick it up, if anyone wants to, in the Q&A session later, where people can go, young people can go down a route which is not job-related and job-specific, but it lets them understand the world of work and specific sectors. It's sector-based, not job-specific, but they understand what that sector requires, and it's also got those softer skills which employers are regularly saying are not available from school leavers. And you've heard Terry Leahy even say it, and Marks and Spencer Stuart Rose say it, that schools produce young people who are not ready for work. This is a answer to that, and also a very important relationship with apprenticeships, where people can move across from doing a diploma, say in engineering, and then go and do an engineering apprenticeship. But I can pick that up in questions if people want to make a specific point, Chairman, about it. I'd like to just say a word, a little bit of an advert for World Skills, which is the largest international skills competition in the world. And in 2011, London will be hosting it, the 41st gathering, and there'll be 1,200 competitors from 50 nations across the globe. And over half our competitors in the last one in Calgary in 2009, over half of our competitors were apprentices. And some of us are now working very hard to use this event in London in 2011 to spread the message about apprenticeships. You've heard it all through this morning's presentations that people, you know, Simon and his famous taxi driver, wouldn't it be great if apprenticeships came back? Apprenticeships are back. They're here. 250,000 young people are doing apprenticeships. What we've not been able to do is to get that message out to other employers of the benefits and that apprenticeships exist. And we're trying to find ways in which World Skills in London can get that message across for us. It's not easy. The media tend to like, I don't care what I say now, but tend to like stories which perhaps aren't related to training and learning and good news and apprenticeships are wonderful. They sort of go off on bad news and things, and we have got to find a way, and it's events like this where we're trying to proselytise and spread the message that apprenticeships work, they're good for companies, they're good for the economy, and they're good for young people. And here I'll just conclude with a couple of quotes. And here's Terry Leahy speaking. You know, he's a huge fan of apprenticeships, and everyone wins. Roy Gardner, the chairman of Compass, the largest catering company in the world. I mean, look how he's gone to a real business benefit. Recruitment costs have fallen because apprentices are more likely to stay. And this is Nigel Whitehead, who runs the UK part of BAE Systems, that each employee contributes 84k of value. We believe that the cost of rent is paid back in 1 year. So you can see how employers are just focusing on the real benefits. And then there's George Kessler, who you'll be hearing from soon, who runs a medium-sized company of effective workforce. Apprentices help him to find, keep and develop the people he needs to make his business successful, and he'll be telling you about that in a moment. I just conclude with a pretty straightforward statement: that development of technical education is the greatest need of this country. I'm sure you will all agree. The problem with that is that it was Ramsay MacDonald who said it, and I think that's the great danger. And you know, you heard the minister here this morning about how he wants to make this change, but we have heard it so many times that we really have got to get rid of this way in which people look down on vocational and only think academic is right. We really have got to address it, because if we don't, we will not get all the economic benefits which Simon alluded to so clearly in his presentation. I'm not quite sure if that was 15, 20 or 10, actually, Chairman, but I've finished. Thank you very much. No worries.